take your Bibles, turn to Hebrews 11th chapter. While you turn there, we want to say it's good to see Sister Linda and Brother Phil from Teen Challenge and one of the students. Good to see each one. Appreciate your pastor, wife, and family. Hebrews 11:25, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. My message this morning deals with the subject: is the pleasures of sin worth the wages of sin? With the pleasures of sin comes the wages of sin. Sin is a choice. Moses made a choice. Moses refused Pharaoh's court and treasure to seek God and his reward by faith. He made his choice when he was 40 years old. According to the Bible, to Acts, the 7th chapter, verse number 20, said Moses was born and was exceedingly fair and nourished up in his father's house 3 months. And when he was cast out, Pharaoh's daughter took him up and nourished him for her own son. And Moses was learned in all the wisdom of the Egyptians and was mighty in words and deeds. And when he was a full 40 years old, it came into his heart to visit his brethren and children of Israel. He was a wise man. He valued suffering the afflictions with the people of God greater than the temporary pleasures of sin. He valued the reproach of Christ greater riches than the opportunity of the treasures of Egypt. He respected the promises and the rewards of God, and he believed with simple faith. By the grace of God, Moses realized all this when he was living in Egypt. He was raised in a royal palace of Pharaoh himself, an adopted son of Pharaoh's daughter. He had the best education that money could buy. He had untold wealth and prestige and power. He had a promising future in Egypt. And why was he willing to give it all up? Friend, it was not because he saw the immediate consequences of sin. He was not a drunkard, but he realized something that every one of us need to realize. My friend, there's something about sin and its beguiling nature. He had access to all the treasures of Egypt, but even legitimate wealth, if it's used for one's own glory, is sin in the eyes of God. Yes, my friend, sin is a choice. We're making choices. Adam and Eve made a choice, a terrible choice. The Bible says Adam was not deceived, but Eve was deceived. Lot made a choice. Lot chose the prosperous plains of Jordan, which included Sodom. Joseph made a choice to honor God over temporary pleasures. Achan made a choice to look, to consider, to lust, and to take. And oh, what a price he paid. Ruth chose to leave her country, her language, her relatives, her religion for the security for Naomi. David made a choice. He made a choice to stay home. He made a choice to take a walk. He made a choice to look. He made a choice to inquire and take. Daniel made a choice not to defile himself with the king's meat nor the wine that he drank. Ananias and Sapphira made a choice to misrepresent their giving, amen, to Peter and also the church. Friend, we make many choices each day. We're going to make choices. We've already made some choices already. But throughout this day, we'll make choices. What to do, what not to do, what to say, what not to say, what to think, what not to think. Yes, sin has pleasure. I don't deny that fact. There's pleasure in sin. Somebody said, how do you know? Because the Bible says there's pleasure in sin. I know from personal experience that you can find pleasure in sin. Many Christians act of this as if there's no pleasure in sin. But the Bible tells us a different story. Friend, there was sinful pleasure in the abundance that Moses, when he made that wise choice, yes, he chose Pharaoh's court and treasure. Amen. I would not be an honest preacher of the Word of God if I foolishly denied that sin has pleasures. Men and women do not aggressively pursue sin for its pain. They don't go after sin because of its punishment and the consequences. They go after sin because of its pleasure. No doubt Delilah gave pleasure to Samson, or else why was he so taken up with her? Yes, fornication, amen, has its forbidden pleasure with horrible results to follow. You can't tell me that the prodigal son didn't find pleasure in the far country. Yes, friend, while he was wasting his estate, I believe he found pleasure in a far country. But you know what? It didn't last. It wasn't long till he came to himself and he realized the pleasures was gone, and now he's beginning to reap for living in sin. Yes, there may be pleasure in sin, but sin doesn't have a pleasant ending. Oh, my friend, we just not ought to learn everything by experience, because experience will cost you too much for tuition. We ought to look at the prodigal son. Let's get eternity out of mind for a moment. Just look at this life. Sin, the pleasures of sin, didn't pay off for the prodigal son if there was no afterlife. Sin does not pay off. No matter how much pleasure you might find in sin, friend, it doesn't pay off in this life. Not counting eternity. If you sin your whole life with pleasure, if you live to be 80, if you live to be 100 years old, and all that time you enjoy the pleasures of sin, my friend, hell is much longer. It'd be wise to choose the gift of God instead of the wages of sin, instead of the pleasures of sin. Someone said, I'd rather be like Lazarus and beg for bread in this life than to be like the rich man and beg for water down in hell. Surely, truly, pleasurable or people would not be so addicted to sin if it was not pleasurable. The problem is the pleasure is temporary. Let me tell you, friend, you may be enjoying sin right now, and you might have the thought in your mind, I'm going to go out here and I'm going to do some things and I'm going to sow my wild oats and I'm going to have a big time. But my friend, it's only going to be temporary. It's not going to last that long. And Jesus would ask us in this service this morning, if you gain the whole world but lose your own soul, what would it profit you? My friend, how should we compare the lives and pleasure of the rich man and Lazarus? What shall we think of the rich fool in Luke the 12th chapter, the man in the parable who stored up all of his wealth thinking he was set for life? And that very night, God said, you're gonna die. Amen. And answer for his sin. His treasure disappeared instantly. His treasure disappeared. It was temporary. And he goes on in that chapter and he says, so is one who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich by God. Are there like any like him today? Friend, you cannot even boast of tomorrow, for you know not what a day shall bring forth. The triumph of the wicked is short, and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Do you know that's what the Bible says? The Bible says in Job, the 20th chapter and verse number 4, knowest thou not this, O man, since man was placed upon the earth, that the triumphing of the wicked is short and the joy of the hypocrite is but for a moment. Though his excellency mount up to heavens and his head reach unto the clouds, yet he shall perish forever like his own dung. They which have seen him shall say, where is he? I tell you, friend, sin only pleases the flesh for a very short time. It leaves the spirit empty. It leaves the spirit guilty, vexed, and confused. Did Adam and Eve even get to take the second bite of the fruit? I don't know. They didn't enjoy it for very long. They were instantly, amen, disappointed and shocked and found naked. How long did Judas get to enjoy the silver? Not very long. No, and his death was not a pretty sight. According to Acts, the 1st chapter and verse 18, now this man purchased a field with the reward of iniquity, and falling headlong, he burst asunder in the midst, and all of his bowels gushed out. How long is the pleasure of adultery? How long is the pleasure of fornication? How long is the pleasure of drinking? Not very long. It does not satisfy. It teases and deceives with shallow pleasure, and then wonder why an individual so empty. Sin still has natural consequences. Temporary pleasure often brings horrible consequences in the present. The Bible says in Psalms 36 and verse number 1, the transgression of the wicked saith within my heart that there is no fear of God before his eyes, for he flattereth himself of his own eyes until his iniquity be found to be hateful. Consider the suicides, the divorces, the drugs, the therapies among the successful, the popular of our nation. No wonder the Bible says in the book of Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and verse number 12, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes that are taken in an evil net and the birds that are caught up in the snare. So are the sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them. Think about drunkenness. The drunkard, he gets sick. He shames himself. He kills a child with a car. He wastes his money. He wastes his time. He loses his memory. He loses his wife. He loses his home. He loses his children. He loses his job. He has a hangover. He builds a horrible addiction. The fool with a terrible hangover caused his own vertigo, his own vomiting. No wonder Proverbs talked about it in the 23rd chapter and verse number 29. Who hath woe? Who hath sorrow? Who hath contentions? Who hath babbling? Who hath wounds without cause? Who hath redness of eyes? They that tarry long at the wine, they that go and seek mixed wine. Look now thou upon the wine. Look not thou upon the wine when it's red, when it giveth his color in the cup, when it moveth itself aright. At last it biteth like a serpent and stingeth like an adder. Thine eyes shall behold strange women, and thy heart shall utter perverse things. Yea, shalt thou be as he that lieth down in the midst of the sea, or as he that lieth upon the top of the mountain? They've stricken me, shalt thou say, and I was not sick. They beat me, and I felt it not. When shall I awake? I will seek it yet again. Don't forget, friend, the Bible says that wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging. And whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. Amen. The wages of sin is death. It's the pleasures
of sin worth the wages of sin? If you choose the pleasures of sin, that means you automatically choose the wages of sin. You can't escape the wages of sin if you choose to live your life in the pleasures of sin. What about adultery? The adultery destroys four souls, two marriages, two families, forever and ever. And that's a serious thing. The Bible says in Proverbs 7 and verse number 22, he goeth after her straightway as an ox goeth to the slaughter, or as a fool to the correction of the stocks, till a dart strike through his liver, as a bird hasted to the snare, and knoweth not that it was for his life. Sin is the most expensive thing in this world. Sin has spiritual consequences. Don't you think that you can go out here and live in sin without spiritual consequences? Ephesians 4:27, neither give place to the devil. Don't give the devil any place. The devil don't want a foothold, he just wants a toehold, and he'll work from there. The devil's only purpose is to destroy you. I'm preaching to some people, the devil is out to destroy you, and he will do it if you allow him to. John 10:10, the thief, talking about the devil, he cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. 2 Timothy 2:26, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. Amen. That's what the devil wants to do. Some of you, I fear, are about to get into the snare of the devil, choosing the pleasures of sin. Proverbs 13:15, good understanding giveth favor, but the way of the transgressor is hard. If you choose to live in sin, I want to tell you, the way of the transgressor is hard. 100% of the time. The way of the transgressor is hard. I just been talking to a man that went to the mission in Mobile, Alabama, Mission of Hope. He spent some time in the county jail. He said, Brother Larry, I'm going to do everything I can to keep from ever having to go back to that place. He said, you would not believe how things are in the Mobile County Jail. And he said, this is how bad it is. Just one thing, for instance. Many things. He said, they come in there and they spray roach spray on the floor. And when the maintenance man leaves, them men get down there with paper and soak the roach spray up, and when it dries, they smoke it. That's pretty sad, isn't it? I agree, the wages of sin is death. The way of the transgressor is hard. The danger of love and pleasure. We live in a world and people are in love with pleasure. The Bible says, that which fell among the thorns are they which when they have heard go forth and are choked with the cares and riches and pleasures of this life. You know what's getting some people in trouble around the church? The pleasures of this life. Proverbs 21 verse number 7, he that loveth pleasure shall be poor, shall be a poor man. He that loveth wine and oil shall not be rich. What does the Bible say in these last days? There would be traitors, heady, high-minded, lover of pleasures, more than lovers of God. We got people today around the church. They love pleasures more than they love God. That's why they choose pleasure over to come to church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. That's why they choose pleasure over coming to the revivals. They love pleasures more than they love God. Who knoweth the judgment of God? That they that commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, have pleasure in them that do them. There's folks out here today, they've compromised, they've backed up on the word of God, and they find pleasure when they get other people to live like them. They're looking for people, amen, that'll do the thing that they did. They must think the more people they can get to do what they did, they'll feel better about themselves. But I believe hell's gonna be hotter on those folks who try to get others to compromise like them. Isaiah 21, 4, my heart panted. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath turned into fear unto me. Now, let's talk about the wages of sin is death. Death is a theme that runs all through the book of Romans. He starts out in Romans the 6th chapter, verse number 1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? The people in that day was thinking, since we've been saved by grace, since we're not under the law, the more we sin, the more grace will abound. Paul said, don't believe that. God forbid. How can you live in sin when you're dead to sin? Too many people have accepted ruin and misery as a way of life. You don't have to do that. Don't choose ruin and misery as a way of life. Yes, my friend, think about it. The gift of God is eternal life. I don't believe there's no harsher reminder in the scriptures of the effects of sin than Romans 6:23. The wages of sin is death. Sin has destroyed every home. Sin has caused every church split. Sin has ruined the testimony of every soul. Sin has painted up to be pretty. Satan shows the glitter, but not the gutter. Billboards show the fun, but not the uncle, not the aunt, not the grandpa that's dead and in hell in a drunken stupor. If you play the game of sin, you got to pay the price. And the wages of sin is death. Thank God for Moses. We need more people like Moses choosing to suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy sin for a season. Amen. You know what sin is like? Cotton candy. Just a few grains of sugar blowed up, but once it's in your mouth, it goes away real quick. Amen. That's the way cotton candy is. That's the way sin is. If sin is so satisfying, then why do folks have to sin so much? If beer satisfies, why get drunk every night? If drugs satisfy, why you gotta have them every day? All must realize the fix you're in. If you're a sinner, you're in a fix. Amen. Sin is a problem. It's a serious problem. And it's not Adam's sin that got you in trouble. It's not Eve's sin that got you in trouble. It's your sin. Amen. Ezekiel 18, verse number 20, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. The son shall not bear the iniquity of the father. Neither shall the father bear the iniquity of the son. The righteousness of the righteous shall be upon him, and the wickedness of the wicked shall be upon him. Amen. Sin still causes separation. Isaiah 59, verse number 1. Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. I don't care where you're at and what's happened in your life. No matter how far you went in sin, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save. I'm glad that God's still in the saving business. He can save the vilest of sinners. I talked to a man yesterday at the airport. He said, I've gone too far. it's too late for me. I said, no, it's not. Because I think God sent me here to talk to you. And I preached to him about 30 minutes at the airport. Amen. Sin separates from God. Your iniquities have separated between you and your God. And your sins have separated his face from you that he will not hear. Sin is lawlessness. Amen. Whosoever committed sin transgresses also the law. For sin is a transgression of the law. Sinning against an awful master would be serious. But sinning against an infinitely loving master would be infinitely worse than that. How great a sin it is to sin against a holy God. That's who your sin is against. It's against God. Sin is like a contagious cancer. It infects, it corrupts, it spreads, it leads to death. Regardless of what your heart tells you, you're going to get caught. Do you know that? You're going to go slipping around. You think you got this thing covered up. You're being real careful. I got news for you. You're going to get caught. You're going to get caught. Somebody has said, how do you know? Because the Bible told me you're going to get caught. Be sure. Be sure your sins will find you out. God's going to uncover what you've been involved in. Be sure your sin will find out. You just get so many warnings, then a holy and a just God from heaven is going to strike. He that being often reproved and hardeneth the neck shall suddenly be destroyed, and that without remedy. Somebody said, I've been getting by with this for a long time. Nobody knows about it. No, you're not getting by. It's not going to last. God's getting ready to expose it. Psalms 50, verse number 21, these things hast thou done, and I kept silence. Thou thoughtest that I was altogether such as one as thyself, but I will prove thee. I'll set them in order before thine eyes. Now consider this, ye that forget God, lest I tear you in pieces and there be none to deliver. Ecclesiastes has the answer. Chapter 8, verse number 11. Because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. Because you've been doing things and nobody found out. Because you got involved in things and it's kept silent. You think you're getting by. You're not getting by. Because as Sister Green used to say, there's an all-seeing eye watching you. You can't do anything that God doesn't see. There's a lake of fire. It's called the second death. Revelation 20, verse number 11, and I saw the great white throne, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged every man according to their works. Death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever is not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Therefore, this morning I call on every man, every woman, every boy and every girl, every young person to turn from sin and wickedness before it's everlasting too late. I say to you to repent and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says you shall be saved. But what is the meaning? The wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life. This verse is not speaking about physical death. It's contrasting spiritual death with eternal life. The person who does not repent, the person who does not place faith in the Son of God, the person who fails to be born again, receive the wages of sin. The wages of sin refers to the payment. When a person works, the person receives a wage, a payment for the work. Those who work in sin will receive the payment of spiritual death, which is ultimately separation from God. The wages of sin are serious. There's serious consequences. Sin is definitely the most expensive thing in the world. Paul opens the salary purse of the sinner, and he finds in that purse is death. This death, we must emphasize, not just physical death, but eternal death and the second death. There is an unalterable law of life. We reap what we sow. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of his flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. What ways are you sowing to the flesh? And what ways are you sowing to the Spirit? There's no mocking God. You can't plant wheat and expect to reap corn. It doesn't work that way. We cannot sow to the flesh and reap a spiritual harvest. Think of it. In hell, there is absolutely not 1 second of a pleasure, enjoyment. This is what hell's like. No God, no pleasure for eternity. There may be pleasures in sin, but sin doesn't have a pleasant ending. If you turn to him and ask him to forgive your sins, repenting, believing on the Lord Jesus Christ, he'll save you. But if not, he said, and these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. And if you go away into everlasting punishment, it's going to be because you deserved it. You refused to honor the one who gave you so much in life. This is the awful logic of eternal punishment. But it's not too late. This morning is an era of grace. Today you can be reconciled. He said, come unto me, all ye that labor and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Only he can save you. Through repentance and faith, Christ can give you the gift of God. It takes God to get you out of the fix you're in. You can't get out by yourself. It takes God to get you out. Here's the good news. The gift of God remains unclaimed by many. How about you? God's got a gift for you. It's called eternal life. But many have failed to claim the gift. And that's going to be on you. You can't blame that on nobody if you fail to claim the gift. In contrast, Paul reveals the reality. The gift of God is God's grace and mercy to us. We rejoice as we remember this amazing grace. And there's also our eternal rewards that outweigh any sacrifice or affliction. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. Now I'm closing, and I'm going to be honest with you. The sins of the moment may seem fun and liberating. I'll give you that. The sins of the moment. It's fun. It can be liberating. But I promise you, they are ultimately unfulfilling
and they do not result in the eternal outcome that you desire. You can harbor bitterness and unforgiveness in your heart for the rest of your life, but is it worth the wages of sin? You can chew your tobacco and you can smoke your cigarettes, but is that worth the wages of sin? Man said to me, "Brother Larry, they tell me at the mission we can't smoke, but nobody's ever explained to me why we can't smoke. Why is it wrong to smoke?" I said, "I'll tell you, because the Bible says, defile not the temple. If any man defile the temple, him shall God destroy." Let me tell you something. You can get drunk every night for the rest of your life and get that high from drinking. But is that worth the wages of sin? You can go to your wild parties. You can get high as a kite. And you can continue to live that way till you die. But is that, my friend, worth the wages of sin? You can commit adultery and fornication. You can live that way the rest of your life. But is it worth the wages of sin? And you don't have to dress modest. You can dress like the world. You can wear your short dresses, your tight clothes. You can look just like the world. But is that worth the wages of sin? You can refuse to be separate and peculiar because you love the praise of man more than you love the praise of God. But is it worth the wages of sin? I'm here to tell you there's no pleasure in this entire world worth setting aside God and his word for. There's nothing the devil has to offer you. There's no pleasure that's worth setting aside God's word. Amen. It's time to make a choice. Do you want the pleasures of sin, which automatically comes with the wages of sin? Or do you want the gift of God? When I was 18 years old, I decided I'd had enough of sin. I found out the wages of sin doesn't pay. Thank God I made a choice when I was 18 years old. And I haven't been sorry about that one time. It was a wise decision. I'll just suffer the afflictions with the people of God than to enjoy sin for a season. How about you? Maybe somebody here wants to make that decision. You're headed down the wrong road. You're tempted to go down the wrong road. You've been in the balance. You've been pulled in different directions. Once you make a decision, I'm going to be like Moses. I'm going to choose to suffer the afflictions with the people of God.